morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everyone here this morning. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, go ahead and turn to Daniel chapter 6. That's what we're going to be this morning. We're continuing our series on overwhelmed this morning by looking at the topic of gratitude. We've been walking through the book of Daniel, and if you've been following along, and at least open your Bibles maybe once or twice during this series, you've been reading ahead, maybe you're studying at home. You will notice that today we're in chapter 6, like I just said. Anyone know the well-known Bible story found in Daniel chapter 6? Anybody? I've got to get you all to read your Bibles a little bit here. Daniel in the lion's den. Everybody know that? Everybody know that story, right? You've heard that story, right? Yeah, it's probably one of the most well-known Bible stories. The story you probably first learned as a kid, right? Here in PBS or things like that down in Sunday school or something. Now, some of you may be thinking, hold up. Hold up a second. First, he said the topic was gratitude. In the next sentence, he said Daniel's in the lion's den, right? Don't make a whole lot of sense. I know it sounds crazy, but if you stick with me this morning, I promise you that you'll learn some valuable lessons on the topic of gratitude from Daniel within the lion's den. And so we're in Daniel chapter 6. I'm not going to read the whole story for us this morning. That on your own, but let me summarize what's going on here. Darius, the king, made a law that no one in his kingdom could bow down to anyone but him for 30 days. Remember that? And if they did, they would be what? What would happen? You gotta get up and make some jumping jacks or something this morning. Jeez. They would be thrown in the lion's den, right? Right? You remember the story? Now, Daniel was such an exceptional leader. So much so that Darius was about to promote him, the ruler of the whole kingdom, was about ready to promote him. But when this law came that no one could worship any other god but Darius, Daniel wasn't having that, right? That's not how he rolled. He didn't roll like that. He's not ashamed of the God that has gotten him this far. And so when Daniel found out about this law, look at how he responded in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Let me read it for you this morning. It says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the window opened toward Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, his God. What does it say? Just as he had done before. Just as he had done before. Giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Now most of us would have crumbled if the government took away our religious freedoms, right? Most of us would have at least started devising a plan so we could act against it. But before Daniel started making a plan, he started giving God praise because that's just what he did. You need to get to a place in your life where praising God is just something you do. That's just something you do. It doesn't matter if you get the new car or you have to drive the old crappy car a little while longer. Or maybe the car breaks down and you have to walk or ride your bike or hitch a ride with someone else. Giving God praise is just what you do. Just what we do. I believe one of the things that set Daniel apart that we tend to skip over isn't just his courage in the big moments, but it was his sense of gratitude that pervaded every moment. He gave thanks to his God just as he had done before. He thanked him when he was going to get the promotion, and he thanked him when it meant he might lose his life. You need to get to the point in your life where praising God is just what you do, no matter what you're going through. Because here's the thing, this king issued a decree which the Bible says could not be changed. If you read in the story, it says Darius could not change the law he had just put into effect. And then if anybody bowed down and gave God praise, they would be sentenced to death. And it says that nothing could change that sentence. But how many of you know that when an unchangeable situation meets an unchanging God, God always wins, right? God always wins. You might find yourself in the midst of a situation that seems unchangeable, but if you get your eyes focus on an unchanging God, powerful things can happen. In the book of Acts, Acts, we read about Paul and Silas in prison. You remember that story? Paul and Silas were in prison, chained up. And then it says about midnight, they began singing praises to God and thanking him. And what happened? Their chains fell off. Remember that? Seemed like an unchangeable situation, right? So they focused on an unchanging God, and something powerful happened. The gratitude factor. It's the gratitude factor. Here's the thing. After you leave this place, this morning, your situations might not be different. But it's my hope that maybe your perspective is different. Your situation may be the same, but maybe your perspective changes a little bit this morning. And if your perspective is different, then I believe you can rise above it. Rise above any situations. This morning I want to focus in on four observations on gratitude that have been bulletin. You can come along as we walk through this. But four observations that I have of gratitude this morning. And the first one is this: gratitude is never invisible or silent. Gratitude is never invisible or silent. Scripture says in Luke chapter 6, 45, that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. I want to update this for our culture today and say that out of the overflow of our hearts, the fingers tweak too. Follow me? Because here's the truth. Sometimes I go on social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, whatever else, and it's also negative. Negative stuff on there. And it's not just from non-Christian folks either. It's good Christian people. So much negativity. And I just don't get it sometimes. I mean, you only have like 140 characters to type, right? And you just went to church, worshiped with others, heard a word from God, maybe someone was baptized, and the only thing you can say is how tired you are. When's the last time you verbalized your gratitude? Now, I'm not talking about banners saying please and thank you. I'm talking about from the heart. When's the last time you actually thanked God? Thanked someone close to you, a friend, a parent, maybe a spouse. If you are really grateful, you will say it. You will show it. And I'm going to prove it to you. Not from the Bible. I'm going to prove it to you with a clip from Oprah. How many have seen Oprah? Right? And all the guys are like, ah, I've never seen Oprah. Four. Applause, Oprah fans. I know you've seen Oprah. Now, I want to show this clip from Oprah. Anyone, you watch the show, Oprah's Favorite Things. How many have seen the Oprah's Favorite Things show? Where she gives away cars, right? I wish I was on that show. One time she gave away a bucket of popcorn that was worth $130. Everybody in the audience. A car. She gave away trips, a cruise. She gave away a trip to Australia one time. Everybody in the audience, the whole audience. Crazy. I have a clip I'm going to show. When the audience members found out that they were on the show for Oprah's Favorite Things, they didn't know. They didn't know they were on the show yet. And that's where they gave away all this free stuff. They didn't know it. They found out. This was their response. Go ahead, play the clip.
So today, our audience is filled with ultimate viewers and people who have given back in some way to their families, to their communities, to the world. And you know, I believe that you all know that giving is one of the most important things that you can do. And so we're going to hear some of your stories. I told you you're going to come up here and tell us some of your stories in a moment. But first I want to talk about one of the best ways I believe that we can prepare for giving, and that is meditation. How many of you actually meditate? How many people meditate? That's not a rousing reception. I would say this though. I would say that the truth is that when you meditate, it allows you to think about a lot of things and to clear a channel for giving to others. So how about we meditate on this? Thank you.
God uses so that when you're in a dark time, you rehearse the aspects of God saw when you were in the light over and over again. And sure, you may be in a valley right now, but that's only because you just came off a mountain here and went towards another one. Number three, gratitude begins where my sense of entitlement ends. Gratitude begins where my sense of entitlement ends. It just got really quiet in here. A little uncomfortable in here. Here's the thing. We all have a sense of entitlement, don't we? Right? We can't stand it when we see it in others, but I can guarantee that God can show it in your life. And I don't say that to condemn you, but it's something God can use to help set you free. If you're a born-again believer, do you remember when you first accepted Christ? I remember it. I was at my parents' house, my mom, my living room. I remember after I accepted Christ how excited I was. And my best friend, actually, while my mom was praying with me, my best friend was knocking at the door. And so when we finished up, I ran to the door and said, "Hey, I just accepted Christ. You want to accept Christ too? Like, let's go. Let's get on." I was excited. I want to tell everybody, right? You remember the excitement and the fire you got? How you were so thankful for all that Christ had did for you? You remember that? But over time, you begin to develop a sense of entitlement in your church and even in your personal life. And here's the thing I've learned. You cannot be grateful for things that you feel you are entitled to. With me? You cannot be grateful for the things that you feel you're entitled to. That's why no one wrote a thank you note to the IRS for your tax return refund this year, right? Anybody write a thank you note to the IRS? No. Why? Because it's your money, right? It's my money. I'm not going to say thank you for my money you're giving back to me, right? But what happens over time is we forget that everything is God's, right? Nothing is ours. It's all His. Our money belongs to God. Our stuff belongs to God. Our breath belongs to God. And we begin to think we're self-made. But if He doesn't breathe out, then we don't breathe in, right? We become entitled. That's why I've been wrestling even personally with calling members of a church membership. Because membership signifies entitlement. You go to be a member of a club, you're entitled to go there, right? I get to sit in this seat because I'm a member. No. It should be partnership. We're partners in this ministry as we reach out to this community, right? Partnership signifies responsibility. Membership signifies entitlement. We're not entitled to anything. It's all God's. Once we begin to get that entitlement, you know what happens? Our language changes. We start saying, "I got to," when we used to say, "I get to." Follow me? You start saying, "I got to," instead of saying, "I get to." Listen closely. When your "get to" becomes a "got to," you've lost your gratitude. When your "get to" becomes a "got to," you've lost your gratitude. "I got to be a greeter this week." You used to be able to be a greeter. You used to get to do that. Now you got to? You used to love being the first smile on the face everyone sees when they walk in the front doors of the church in the morning. Now you got to do it? "Well, I got to help out in the nursery or with the kids downstairs teach them about Jesus. And, you know, Jesus loves them." You used to get to pour your lives into the kids downstairs in the kids' connection. Now you got to? I gotta serve on this ministry. Or I gotta do this outreach event. Or I gotta serve on this board. Or I gotta play in the band. Or I gotta run the soundboard. You used to get to do those things. Because it was you using your gifts and talents and resources that God has blessed you with. But now you gotta do it. You don't got to, you get to. When your "get to" turns into a "got to," you've lost your gratitude. Maybe horrible English, but it's really good theology. Psalms, and in Psalms 103 it says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with the love and compassion. Forget not all His benefits." How many of you have a direct deposit? Your checks go right directly deposited in your checking account. Never hits your hand. You don't ever see it. You don't ever get to look. You don't have money until you pay off all your bills and then you have no money anymore. I have direct deposit too. And here's the thing. When we don't get that check, we don't hold that check. It's like you never missed it, right? Just directly deposit into my account. And sometimes you don't even have to write checks anymore, right? You can have all your bills come directly out of your account too. So it's just like, money, right? Direct deposited. And here's the thing. We know Old Testament law, right? Old Testament law, Old Covenant. What they have to do for their sins? They had to go take an animal and sacrifice it on an altar, right? Right? They had to do some stuff. Like us, like when we got paid, we had to go to the bank, cash a check. We got to hold some of that money for a little bit before we paid all our debts, right? They had to take an animal to an altar and sacrifice it. Pay their debt, right? But I wonder if we don't miss something. You know, now, under New Covenant, God directly deposits grace and mercy in our account every morning. Every day. And I think we miss something. We forget the blessings and all that God has done for us because we don't hear the animal screams as we plunge a knife into its heart, right? We don't smell the sacrifice. We don't see the entrails on the altar, right? I think we miss something because we forget. We forget, and God's telling us, forget not all His benefits. We have free access to God, but guess what? It may be free to us, but it wasn't cheap for God. His Son was assassinated on a criminal's cross, so each and every one of us thing. We aren't entitled to anything. We don't deserve anything. We should walk around every day like we expect God to bless us because He's good, but knowing that He doesn't owe us anything and we don't deserve any of it. So we give Him praise because He's good. Number four, grateful people can find a blessing, a larger blessing, create a blessing in almost any situation. Grateful people can find a blessing, enlarge a blessing, or create a blessing in almost any situation. Now I know God creates the blessing, but they can make any situation, even bad, and turn it into a blessing. Let me bring it back to Daniel. Now the Bible says that Daniel was thrown into lion's den, right? And the king was tormented because he didn't want to throw Daniel in the lion's den, but it was a wall that he had made, so he had to do it. Look at chapter 6, verse 19 through 22. It says, "At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called Daniel in an anguished voice, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve, continually been able to rescue you from the lions?' Now, my personality, I probably would have waited probably 35 seconds, 40 seconds before I responded to this guy. Maybe slur a little bit, but that's just me. That's just how I am. But obviously, Daniel answered, 'O king, live forever. My God sent His angels, and He shut the mouths of the lions, so they have not hurt me. Because I was found innocent in His sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before. I'll get this. Here's the thing I never realized or saw here in Daniel. If I had read the book of Daniel, it would have been the book of Brent. It just wouldn't have fit in the scheme of the Bible. But if I had been Daniel, and I had been thrown in a lion's You better believe there would have been at least six more chapters after chapter six about how hard it was in the lion's den. You follow me? I would have complained, talking about how hard it was to sleep, how uncomfortable it was the whole night, how worried I was for my life. You think it was comfortable in that lion's den? You think he was refreshed after spending that night in the lion's den with the lions? He didn't have no sleep while they were pushing the button. But notice how much he says about the lion's den. There's not one verse. Not one. Not one verse about what happened in that lion's den that night. I never noticed that. If I have an experience where I have to wait 10 minutes in the drive-thru at the line of Taco Bell, all you better believe I'm talking about for the next week. That's ridiculous. My Facebook is. I want people to know how frustrating it was. How long I had to wait. The struggle that I went through. You ask my wife. You ask my wife. I'm probably complaining about a lot of stuff. See? She's shaking her head. I came home and said, you know how long I had to wait to talk about my food? She probably said, well, you didn't eat that food in the first place. To tell about how hard it was for me in the lion's den, how smelly it was sleeping next to something that looked on me like I was an appetizer, right? No, what you need to know, the bottom line is this: my God rescued me, my God delivered me, my God has shown up just like I thought he would in the lion's den for me. And notice this, he didn't say the lions didn't scare him, right? He didn't say the lions didn't scare me. He said the lions didn't hurt me. He doesn't lie about how pleasant it was. He just gets onto the fact that if I'll be grateful and if I find a blessing in the midst of this overwhelming situation, God will do something amazing. And you know what happened, don't you? You know what happened if you read on the story? Darius went on to issue a decree that everyone had to worship Daniel's God. Now we got this ungodly king doing evangelism. And all because of one man's grateful spirit. Because one man said, I'm going to find the blessing in the lion's den. And here's the thing, that can be your testimony as well. That when you are in the darkest times of your life, you find the blessing, enlarge a blessing or create a blessing. And watch as God uses that in your life to propel others into a closer relationship with him. Psalm 27. Verse 13 says this, I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm still confident in this. I'll see the good of the Lord, goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Pray with me, Father God. We thank you for incredible Bible stories of incredible people that you used to ultimately change many lives. So prone to look at the story of Daniel's and the lion's den and talk about how much courage Daniel had and all that he must have faced. Oh, man, we forget the gratitude factor. We forget to look at the fact that when he heard that this decree was going out, he didn't go out and start petitions. He didn't go out and start marches. He didn't rally the troops. He didn't whine and cry about the government taking away his religious freedoms. Father, what did he do? He went and praised you just as he had done before. Father, help us get to a point in our lives where praising you and thanking you is just what we do. Even in the hard times, because it's easy to praise God in the good times. It's hard to praise God. Praise your name. We're going through tough times, Father, but we just need to get to a point in our lives where everything we do. So, Father, it's my prayer this morning that maybe as you have been wrestling with some hearts this morning in our lives, that you've been making some people feel uncomfortable. You just want them to come closer to you. So maybe some people need to come up front this morning and get right with you. It's my prayer that they will listen to the stirring of their hearts that you're doing in their lives right now, Father, that they will come and seek you and praise you and thank you. we're so prone to walk around like we're entitled to people. We're entitled to nothing. We're entitled to nothing. You don't owe us anything. Help us realize that, because we can't be thankful for something that we feel entitled to. Father, continue to work in our lives and stir this church as we continue to move away from ourselves so we can reach this community.